We thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us to gather here and hear another portion of thy word and sing songs of praise your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance with thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthday.
Yeah. Who was that? Whose birthday is it?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many, many more. Announcements. Nobody's got it. Brother Lee.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you folks. And I hope there's joy in every heart. Well, our prayer list is not much different from last week. However, there is one change I need to make, and that is Brenda Frances Wilson is listed. She is still in the hospital, and she has been confirmed that she does have cancer. So that's a more serious situation than it was. So keep her in your prayers along with all the others that are listed there. As a part of the body of Christ. And I'm glad to be back. I spent 3 days in bed, and that takes a lot out of me, believe me. There's a family that lived in Hastings, Nebraska. They had children who were early grade school age. And not too far from the high school baseball field was a fast food restaurant called Runza. Now their specialty was a mixture of hamburger, cabbage, onions, and all spices, and baked in a roll. And the children always wanted to know if their parents would take them to Runza's, so they could have a Runza sandwich. And it was pretty easy because their parents liked them too. In fact, the father said, he said, for a German like me, it was like a piece of heaven to slather some mustard on it and savor the tastiness of a Runza. Well, in a very real sense, what he was doing was stirring up memories of his childhood in his native land and all the adventures and escapades that he had experienced as a child. And in a very real sense, this is what we do at the Lord's table. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And when we share in this memorial, we receive the loaf and the cup, we're remembering our Savior, and especially what he did for us on Calvary. It should be a delight. It should be a joy. It should be a grateful time when we remember what he's done for us. So as we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope that you will give special attention to what it means and what it can mean for you.
In Psalm 224.
Surveying the wonders of this cross, of this love, great love.
Gracious God, we want to thank you for everything that you do for us. We realize that if it wasn't for the sacrifice that Jesus made, that we would live in darkness when our life is finished here on earth. We want to thank you for what he means to us. As we come around this table and get ready to partake of these emblems, as we do try to do every Sunday, we realize what must have been going through your mind and his mind when this sacrifice took place. And as we lift this up and partake of this bread, we do so with gratitude. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the many, many blessings that you have given us this week. We thank you for your love and your forgiveness and your grace. And we return just a small portion of what you've blessed us with this week. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Singing, first of all, hymn number 123.
Sing that mother again to me, the words of love.
Okay, I should perhaps announce now that we have a couple of special people to introduce. One is Brother Perry from the Gideons, and he's working with us today. And also Brother Clint Hurt is going to be bringing the message today. So I don't think I have to introduce either one of them. We know them fairly well. Let's turn to hymn number 524. Is our prayer hymn. We're going to be singing just the first verse of all. Number 321. While we present ourselves as Christians, we pray it never gives the idea to anyone that we feel we're better than other people. We know the only difference between us and the worst of the world is that we've been forgiven of our sins. We still fumble and stumble our way through life like everyone else, but your grace covers our sins. And we know that grace is open to every person who's willing to surrender to our Savior, Jesus. So we pray that gathering here to give you our thanks and our praise will help others to realize the urgency, the absolute urgency of the gospel message. That what we do about Jesus here in this life determines our forever destination. Life passes day by day, but eventually for all of us it ends, and our real permanent existence begins. So help us, Lord. Help us to lead the way to the glorious promises you offer in Jesus Christ. We ask you to hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and guide us to that glory that Jesus sacrificed to give us. For we pray in His name. Amen. Now the one person I did not introduce, I guess I better introduce him now. Because he's going to have a major part in our service this morning. excuse me. Philip Quinn and I are supposed to sing. If I can get it together. We're going to try anyway. We have a couple of songs we're going to share with you. And he's been good enough to come all the way from Danville. No, it's the next county over. Mm. What county is that?
That one's Lincoln. The one Lincoln I live in county. Is Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln County.
I actually live more in Junction than in Danville.
Yeah. Well, we're happy you're here anyway.
I'm glad to be here.
And if I can find a magnifier, I'll magnify my deficiencies. And we just enjoy singing together. We just wanted to share some of this joy with you this morning. So here's the first one. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place.
When we all get to heaven,
What a day of rejoicing
that will be.
When we all
see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon those pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold.
When we all get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be.
When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing
that will be.
When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
Well, when we all get to heaven, you go in there?
Amen.
I hope to see you there. That second song is about going to that city. I'm going to a city. And we'll get that set up in just a second here.
I've been thinking about a city in a land not far away. Soon I'm gonna be leaving, I'm moving up there to stay.
All my friends and loved ones are waiting, they're learning a brand new song. Soon we're gonna be singing when we reach our heavenly home.
I'm going to a city not made by man. I'm going to a city
oh I'm going to that city
And it's made by God's own hand,
that holy white city,
that holy white city,
not far away,
not far away.
I'm going to a city,
I'm going to the city,
some wonderful day. Are made of jasper, and the streets are pure as gold. There's a crystal river where we will never grow old.
Our mansions now are waiting, 'cause Jesus said it was so. To that city called heaven, oh, I am ready to go.
I'm going to a city,
I'm going to that city,
not made by man,
not made by man.
I'm going to a city,
oh, I'm going to a city,
and it's made by God's own hand, that holy white city,
oh, that holy white city,
not far away,
oh, not far away.
I'm going to a city,
I'm going to the city,
some wonderful day,
some wonderful day.
I'm going to a city,
oh, I'm going to the city,
not made by man,
not made by man.
I'm going to a city,
I'm going to the city,
and it's made by God's own hand. That holy white city,
oh, that holy white city,
not far away,
not far away.
I'm going to a city,
I'm going to the city,
some wonderful day. I'm going to a city,
yes, I'm going to that city,
some wonderful day.
Well, I hope to see you there. You know how we get there, don't you? Surely you know. We only get there by the grace of God, not by anything we've done. And this song talks about people who are standing on the edge of the river and about to leave the world, and they're saying, I know how I made it. I made it by grace.
I live each day in victory because of the one who lives in me. I found every promise he ever made, Jesus will keep. Walked by my side in deserts dry, loved me and held me when I cried. So let me sing you one more song in case I leave. I made it by grace.
I know how I made it. God's amazing grace.
Steps that are slower now I've taken, each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shores, I lift my trembling voice once more. I know how I made it.
I know how I made it.
I made it by
God's amazing grace.
God's children are leaving one by one, passing this way and going home. Signs of the times reveal we don't have very long. Each one who stands upon this shore
waving goodbye as they rejoice. Glory to God, we'll leave here singing that same sweet song. I know how I made it.
I know how I made it.
I made it by
God's amazing grace.
Steps that are slower now I've taken. Each one by grace.
Each one by faith.
Standing on Jordan's stormy shores. I lift my trembling voice once more.
I know how I made it.
Oh, I know how I made it.
I made it by God's amazing grace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for sharing with us. And now, we'll call on Brother Clint Hurt to come and share his message with us.
I've heard it said you can't lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, Brother Lee has a unique gift, because he doesn't lead us to water, but he's got a way of making us thirsty to want that water. And I'm sorry I don't have that gift, but if y'all bear with me. But I do want to tell you just a little testimony about how good God is. Brother Lee was in the hospital, 3 days in the bed, and within this week, he's up here, he's singing. And that's a testament to God's grace and how he loves us and how he takes care of us. And just want to give God a shout out for that, because it's remarkable to be in the hospital, in the bed, and then to be able to bring us that wonderful music that only Brother Lee can. Today, with all that's going on in the world, it's easy to find ourselves in need of repenting. Now, the repenting I'm talking about is about the Christians, God's children, His chosen. Society, it's full of temptations, full of aggressions, full of triggers, and we as God's children, we're not exempt from it. What do you think of when someone mentions redemption? Do you think of someone that is very close to God? Or do you think of someone that is not that close to God? Do we think that someone who God said was after his own heart would be in such need of repenting? Can someone that has found favor with God still do wrong? Do we need to repent daily? How often do we need to repent? Job, he prayed for himself and his family every day. He said, if I have done something or if my family has done something, please forgive them of their sins. I want to talk about two types of sin today. Sin by omission and sin by commission. Commission is when we sin by doing something. It's either lying, cheating, stealing, false ideas, adultery, murder, stirring up trouble. We have to do something for the sin of commission. While the sin of omission, sometimes it's overlooked. This is a sin in which we're not doing something. Now, how can we sin if we're not doing something? Well, if we're not praying, if we're not forgiving our neighbors, if we're not having peace within it, if we're not tithing, if we're not keeping our word, if we're not studying God's word, if He's telling us you need to read the Bible more, but all of a sudden we haven't picked it up in a month. That's a sin, because we're rebelling and not doing what God has told us to do. Those are sins of omission. I want to oversimplify it for those that have accepted Christ. Repenting is necessary to be in a right relationship with Christ. Repenting can be like washing your car windshield. You know how those bugs, it gets on there and it's just so aggravating? And then when you wipe that windshield clean, how much better it is. Have you ever been out in the field and got sweaty and dirty and just your skin feels so crawling? And then you jump in the shower and you feel refreshed, you feel clean. That's what repenting does for us. Having that nice shower. Maybe having a nice house. Do we like to go into the house and it's all nice and it's pretty and it's clean? Having a windshield free of bugs, free of dirt. We walk into the clean house, it just makes us feel good because all the dirt is gone. The same is true with our spiritual life. We feel so much better when all the dirt is gone. And another thing about confession or repentance, it brings forth a gift. It brings forth a gift of truth. It allows us to see clearly. It allows us to be spiritually clean and see what needs to be worked on. Because the sin, it clouds our judgment, it clouds our mind. But when we're clean, we have a free vision to see. Lying, cheating, not studying God's word, not forgiving, not living up to what we want, leaves a dirty mark on our spiritual life. And through confession or repentance, we clean our spiritual lives so that we can see the truth. The first, I want to talk about, who do we sin against? Do we sin against the person that we do wrong? If someone steals from you, do they sin against you? No. No. They may hurt you. They may disappoint you. But they have sinned against God. When we sin against God, because we're breaking God's law. We're not breaking man's law, but we're breaking God's law. If God says not to steal, and we steal, we're not sinning against the person that we're stealing from. We're sinning against God because God holds and determines what is right and what is wrong, not man. I may think it's wrong to do this, or not wrong to do that, but God's word, because He wrote the law, He defines what is correct and what is incorrect. In many cultures, it may not be against the law to do many things that are against the law here, and vice versa, too. And just to be clear, the Bible teaches us that we've all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. No one is above it, and no one is too far gone to be forgiven. No one is too far gone, but no one is incapable of sin. I want to talk about a man who God said was after His own heart. Acts 13:21 is talking about that man. God's chosen can't get messed up. Do we believe that? Let's look at King David, the one God said was after His own heart. King David was loyal to Saul. While he was king, even though he had been appointed to be the next king by God, even though he had the opportunity to kill him, he refused. He waited on God to open that door. He met the Philistine giants when he was a small boy, with just a sling and faith, because he trusted God. God blessed him. He blessed his land. He gave David whatever his heart desired. God helped him to defeat his enemy and to grow his kingdom. But then he started a sin, and he sinned by omission. In short, he was where he shouldn't have been. In those days, the king would go out with their armies, and they would be with their armies in battle. But David had been so blessed, so lucky, he said, "Well, I don't need to go out with my army. I believe I'll just stay. I'll stay in my kingdom." And he decided to stay in his castle, even though that wasn't where he should have been. He should have been with his army. That led him to the sin of commission, because he saw a beautiful woman bathing and inquired about her. And she was the wife of one of his soldiers. He summoned her to come, knowing she was a wife of one of his soldiers. He committed adultery. and through the act of adultery, she became with child. Then David tried to cover it up. The fact, he said, I've got to cover this up. I've got to cover my tracks. So he told her husband, come forth, come in, and we're going to have a big feast, and you can go home to your wife. But the soldier wouldn't go home. He said, how can I be at home with my wife when my men are still in the battlefield suffering and fighting? I should be with them. Then David tried again. He tried to get him drunk, but he still refused to go home. Finally, David sent word, I want you to put him in the front line. In the heat of the battle, I want him to be in that front line, and I don't want you to give him rest. I want you to keep him there until he is no longer, until he is killed. So now, the person who is after God's own heart, that's what God said in Acts and also in Samuel. He said, a man after my own heart. Now the person who is after God's own heart is a liar, an adulterer, a murderer. That doesn't sound like a good place to be. Can you imagine the guilt, the pain, the sadness that David felt? Having all that sin weigh on his relationship with God? How far apart he felt from God? Can you imagine the sadness daily? Fortunately, none of us feel a pain of that much separation from God. But even a little separation hurts. Sin strains our relationship with God, our Father, and guilt, it bogs us down in the walk of our spiritual life. Now I want to look at David's prayer, because David's prayer is about repentance, and it shows us so much on it. If we turn to Psalms 51, this is a prayer of David's repentance. From going to being a man after God's own heart to being a liar, an adulterer, a murderer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Our forgiveness is because of God's love, because of his mercy, because of his kindness towards us, not because of anything that we do or we deserve. And David understood that. He said, blot out my sins because of your love, because of your mercy. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Blot out my transgressions. You know, God doesn't keep track of our sins once they're forgiven. They're gone. We may have earthly circumstances because of our sin, but in God's eyes, they're gone. Some of y'all are married. Has your husband, your wife, ever brought up something that happened 4 years ago when you made a left turn going through Atlanta and you should have made a right turn? God's not that way. Once you confess it to him, once you repent of it, he doesn't remember it anymore. The slate is perfectly clean. So now, if we could have a dirty windshield or a clean windshield, which one would we want to have? I want to have that clean windshield. I want it to be clean. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my sins. I acknowledge what I've done, and it stole my happiness. The sin is always in front of me. David was so bogged down, he said, I can't. This sin has stole my happiness. It stole my joy. It's ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speak, and clear when thou hast judged. The sin was against you and only you. Because the law and what sin was is determined by you. Once again, when we sin, we don't sin against other people. We may do them an injustice. We may hurt them. But when we sin against God. Because he is the one that wrote the words, wrote the law. He is the one that determines right and wrong, good and evil. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin, because you're the only way to be cleansed. This is foretelling of Jesus' blood on the cross. He said, I was born in sin, and you're the only way to get out of it. If we sin, there's no other way except through God to be forgiven. That's the only way. Because thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me known unto wisdom. You know, sometimes I think people, humans, we sin and we think, nobody knows. Nobody saw that. But God sees all the sin. It can't be hidden. He says, please show me my sins, for you have the power to forgive and restore. That's what forgiveness, repentance is about, restoring and forgiving, restoring our right. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Knowing that God can wipe us away, can cleanse us, can make everything new, can make our relationship with Him refreshing. Make me hear joy and gladness in thy bones, which thou hast broken, may they rejoice. Joy and gladness comes when we're freed from sin. You know, we may have temporary joy, temporary happiness, but if we're bound down in sin, it's temporary. It always comes back. There's always a payday. Hide my face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. O God, renew the right spirit within me, or a constant spirit. Create in me a clean heart and remove my cardinal ways. That's a repentance and asking forgiveness for not only that sin, but as a correction for my life. To show me the way, to put in me a clean spirit and a constant spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, nor take the Holy Spirit from me. Sometimes we get so calloused that the Holy Spirit can't work within us. We get so caught up with our sin that we become calloused to it. And when we become calloused to it, the Holy Spirit can't guide us, can't direct us. And David is saying, please restore me. Don't walk away from me. Let the Holy Spirit convict me of my sin. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David was asking God to use him. After you've cleansed me, use me. Let me tell other people what you have done for me, the love that you have given me. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Seems like David was free. He said, let my tongue sing of my righteousness. It sounds like David was rejoicing. He was happy. He was excited because he was no longer under the bondage of sin. It made him happy. It made him rejoice. It put a spring in his step. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth praises. For thou deservest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. What would God want? What does God want from us when we repent? The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Sacrifice, you required a broken spirit, a contrite heart. God wants us to feel sorry for our sins. Not to want to do, to be ashamed that we've done it. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So whenever we turn to God and we're so sorry that we sinned and we confess it to Him, We've got that broken spirit. We've got that contrite heart. And then God will be able to heal us. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and burnt offerings and the whole burnt of offerings, and they offer burnt offerings unto thy altar. Our sacrifices, God just wants a heart that loves Him, a heart that wants to do right. A sacrifice of a broken spirit can be healed. Broken lives can be healed. In closure, even a little sin is too much to carry. Turn it over to the Lord so His joy and His happiness can come within us, so our vision can be clearer. And some people would say, well, you know, I'm a good Christian. I never sin. Well, even Paul, that wrote countless books in the Bible, he said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. And you can look that up. It's in Romans 7. Even Paul struggles with it. But the main thing is we want to walk closer to Jesus each and every day. We want to be more refined. God says that He'll refine us like gold. And when you have gold, you heat it up and you put it under pressure, and then you just wipe the top. All the impurities come up and you wipe it away, and it becomes pure and pure. And God wants that with our daily lives. I'll turn it back over to Brother Lee or to Perry, whichever.
Let's turn to our invitation hymn. It's number 452. And sing together just the first verse as you stand.
Christy for filling in at the piano.
She was here.